This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
R.I.P. Olivia Newton-John. This is not an Olivia Newton-John song. Look, we just play the whole soundtrack of Grease, but there's too much John Travolta in the original soundtrack of Grease.
Well, it's also we're going to Inglewood today.
Oh, okay.
So I have to play.
That's fine. We're all good. We don't need to bump with Olivia Newton-John. We can just all remember her wearing the little it's not a bandana, but she had like a headband. It was sort of a bandana rolled up tight into a headband during the Let's Get Physical album. Gosh, what an era that was. Ryan, I just took Ryan Wilson back. Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com. You fondly remember Olivia Newton-John in Let's Get Physical, right?
Yeah, it's funny, Adam. I mean, it's sad news because not only because Olivia Newton-John, you know, 73 is not that old.
Right.
But it makes you feel old. And I grew up in North Carolina and early on in Jacksonville. My dad was in the military. And I remember distinctly when that Let's Get Physical video came out, my dad prohibited me from watching it because he was so conservative. Like, he thought leg warmers and a headband was going to somehow, destroy a 12 or 13 year old boy who, you know, that was one of my great memories from growing up, that sneaking that video in MTV, but also a testament of how crazy my dad was in the early 80s. What a time to be alive, Adam.
That is a story right there. That's why we have Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports on Pick 6 Podcast, part of the Super Friends. All right, I want to start with the Chicago Bears. I kind of made fun of the fact that if you watch any of the talking head shows, there's really nothing to talk about because we get Baker Mayfield versus Sam Darnold updates every day, and I can't think of anything less consequential around the NFL. It's important to us here, so I will ask you about it. But around the end, they talk about it every day, and I just can't figure out why. But I want to start with the Chicago Bears, that we thought going into and coming out of the draft that they might be a rudderless ship, and now Roquan Smith, he wants out because they offered him a contract that is absolutely an insult, with like not that much money guaranteed at the back end, and they have really made no commitment to him. Is that the biggest mess of the 32 NFL teams?
It's certainly up there. You feel like the Jaguars have turned things around with Doug Peterson, some stability there. You can argue whether Trent Baalke should still be their general manager, but Doug Peterson offers something in the way of credibility with working with quarterbacks and winning Super Bowls. You can argue that Dan Campbell feels like the teams are buying in Detroit, the team, the players there, and what they're trying to do. Now, they've had a rash of retirements among young players,
right,
and that's something Dan Campbell had to address. But, this is not a glamorous job. This job is a grind. But when you get to Chicago, you go, okay, what's the plan here? Because there doesn't appear to be one after Justin Fields. And even with the draft, and they drafted some good young players on defense, but what that team needs is some offensive firepower. Allen Robinson's now in Los Angeles. They don't have much in the way of playmakers on the outside. N'Keal Harry, they traded for. He got hurt after an uninspiring start as a former first-round pick in New England. They have Equanimeous St. Brown. Okay. They have Byron Pringle. All right.
Right.
They drafted Bayless Jones, who was explosive at times at Tennessee, but is he a difference maker? And then, we talk about Roquan Smith. And I said this today on CBS Sports HQ. I said Roquan Smith did himself some favor. You can argue about whether the Bears should pay him or not. That's up to them. But the way he expressed himself on social media, first saying that he loved the history and the legacy and the expectations of playing for Chicago, and then saying, look, man, they didn't value me at what I thought they should value me at. I would like a trade, as opposed to maybe doing what we saw Kyler Murray do and sort of pout through social media. Now, it worked out for Kyler Murray, but I think Roquan Smith went about it the right way, and the Bears look like what the Bears look like the last few years.
It's kind of sad, and I hate to lump them in with Washington because I don't think their owner is necessarily an embarrassment to the league. Like, Daniel Snyder is an utter embarrassment to the NFL, and he's sort of like the wart they can't get rid of. Like, they need compound WWW to get rid of Dan Snyder. But we're talking about heritage franchises here. And it's like, if you said it another sport, if the Yankees were an embarrassment to Major League Baseball, it would be tough for MLB. And the Bears are one of the, I don't know, five signature franchises in the sport. And they're just, they can't get out of their own way. I mean, the division is good, but the division, it's not like there are, you know, multiple Super Bowl contenders in that division. Really, it's only Green Bay. Like, if you're Chicago and you can't finish second, it's an embarrassment.
No, that's right. And, you know, we just talked about the Lions. The Lions won three games last year. The Bears won six. It feels like the Lions are on the way up and the Bears are on the way down. Now, look, it's the middle of August. Everything could change. You win a couple football games for sure. But it just feels like as we sit here, players are wanting out. There's not much in the way of hopes. And this is the time to be hopeful if you're a fan. There's not much in the way of expectations and hopefulness for this franchise based on where they are and sort of what they've done over the last few months outside of Justin Fields. Yes, they made a coaching change. They have Matt Eberflus. He's a defensive guy, but that doesn't mean he can't have success. Brandon Staley had success last year as a defensive guy going to Los Angeles Chargers. They have a new general manager who's young and appears to be doing the right things. But Ryan Pace was that guy just a few years ago coming out of New Orleans. So the questions remain, and that's just the reality of the situation. Aaron Rodgers is back, but he doesn't have Devontae Adams. It's not clear whether he was super pumped about coming back anyway. So to your point, Adam, this division is wide open, and it feels like the Bears have lost ground in the last few months since the season ended, and that's not where you want to be when you have a young franchise quarterback going into year two.
Yeah, and I'm not even – I mean, I know that Justin Fields is a franchise quarterback, and he's a physical freak and a great talent, but I'm not – The Bears offseason didn't say to me that they really love Justin Fields. It just said to me, like, all right, he's the guy for now, and then we'll address all of these other things, which they're having a hard time addressing, and then we'll get back to it later. By that point, it might be too late. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Let me ask. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance, depending on what kind of other income you have. You could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that. You can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com about Aaron Rodgers, who admitted, and this, as it turns out, it's a couple of off seasons ago, to going down to Peru on a retreat and drinking. I can't even pronounce the drink, but it's a hallucinogenic drink, drug, if you will. But the NFL says it would not have triggered a positive test for either a drug of abuse or a performance-enhancing drug. I would dispute whether or not a hallucinogenic is a performance-enhancing drug or not. Just on anecdotal evidence, Ryan. Anecdotal evidence only.
Of course. Yes.
So is the NFL just saying, it's Aaron Rodgers, we don't care?
maybe the wording is performance-altering, because I don't know if it's going to enhance.
It all depends on the point of view, Ryan. It really does.
That's right. I would imagine, I don't know, you know, you might be onto something. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is such a thorn in the side of the NFL, and he's always has something to say, and he will argue with you whether the sky is blue or not. And we know how the whole vaccination thing went down when he claimed that he was not vaccinated, but whatever the words were he used at the time, and he had done his own research, as it was. Including consulting Joe Rogan and all that came out of that. So maybe the NFL's like, you know what, dude, we don't care. Just show up, play if you want to play, don't play. We're not going to fine you. If you want to test us, continue to do so. We're just going to look the other way. By the way, this is also why people get very angry about the league's stance on punishments. And, you know, look no further than Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. when he gets six games and they go back and say, wait a second, we don't like this. There's no rule of law, and there's no sort of book of rules you can look at and say, this is what's going to happen if you do X, Y, and Z. That's why people get frustrated, whether it's players, coaches, fans, media, because it just seems willy-nilly, throw a dart at a dartboard, and whatever comes up, that's what the punishment is going to be.
All right, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. The NFL is appealing the six-game ruling, and the more I read about this issue, the more I think the NFL put themselves in this position, and they are looking for another, now sort of independent, arbiter to bail them out of it. Well, I mean, I respect that the NFL recognizes that this is not garden variety, and I'll use air quotes, nonviolent behavior, because sexual assault is violent behavior. There's different degrees of it. But the NFL's put themselves in this position, and Sue Robinson basically hung it on them. It said, like, this is, she gave them the most she thought she could give them based on the offense. Is, if the NFL gets the same result back this time, what do they, I mean, they can't do anything about it. Do they have to actually go back to a CBA and amend this to get what they want if it exceeds, you know, more than 20 instances, even if it's your first time?
I think, I mean, it's insane that we have to say that out loud.
Right.
I think the NFL is actually going to get what they want with this next, air quotes, independent arbitrator. I think this one might be more independent towards the NFL. Fairly or not, and, you know, maybe I don't want to disparage the man's name, but it feels like that's why the NFL is appealing. And at the end of the day, I think it goes back to what I just said earlier. You need a set of rules and laws in order to govern. But if we're being realistic, the NFL is a dictatorship. And if we want to look at it that way, they can do whatever they want to do. And that's what they've done historically. I think they, from a PR position, they tried to include Judge Robinson to make it look like less of a dictatorship. And it didn't go in their favor. So they said, well, we're going to try this again. And I think you're exactly right. I think Robinson did exactly as much as she could, given the purview of how things had played out previously in terms of how the NFL has sort of randomly almost punished these people. I don't know if we'll get to the CBA conversation just because I think the league may get closer to what they want more than the six games and perhaps more in the way of fines. At the end of the day, Adam, what was curious to me is that the NFL's done this in the past. I don't know why they shouldn't come out and say, we're the NFL, we're going to suspend Deshaun Watson for X amount of games and fine him X amount of dollars. Let's get on with it. And they've done that before. They've dealt with the pushback, as it were, for a couple weeks and moved on. They tried to look more like a conversation for both sides, and it didn't really work out in their favor. And now they're trying to rewrite the script here.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like they didn't like the result, so we're gonna do this all over again until we get the result that they want. And it's just, I think it's a bad look for the league, but. You know, them dealing out, you know, punishment in these regards has been a bad look for the league for the last decade. So, again, I just kind of look at it as this is the way it's been. Real quick, and then I got one more thing for Ryan Wilson, is if the league comes back and they say, or if the independent guy comes back and he says a full year, the Players Association is going to take this to federal court, no?
They can, and don't look at Deflategate, which was a sham from start to finish.
Right.
I don't think anyone thinks that Tom Brady's deflating footballs, but the Tom Brady and the NFLPA took that to court, and federal court said, in one sentence, said no,
right.
Get out of here. This isn't our business. So I would imagine it'd be something similar should Deshaun Watson and the NFLPA try to go to court if they don't like what comes out of this next ruling.
Yeah, but the difference between 17 games and the playoffs and four games. There's such a huge difference. It's the fate of a team's season in one ruling, because the Browns are not a playoff team. No offense to Jacoby Brissett. They're not a playoff team with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. They might not even be a playoff team if they can get Jimmy Garoppolo. They probably are, but it would be the back end. It's just a different look altogether with Deshaun Watson. All right, real quick for Ryan Wilson before we have to say goodbye. Pick Six Podcast, you got to check that out every day, even though Will Brinson's on it. I kid. I love Will. We talk to Will every week. He's one of my best friends. The last year, the Bengals emerged maybe middle of the season, and we saw where they ended up. Is there another team that you can foresee taking that step?
The Chargers sort of fit that bill. They went 9-8 last year. We know how the season ended. They tied that game with the Raiders. They're going to the playoffs. They somehow found a way to lose it. But I think this year, not only do they go to the playoffs, I think they have a chance to win the division. Their defense is going to be really good. They got Khalil Mack. They signed J.C. Jackson. They drafted really well on both sides of the ball. They got more offensive line help in the draft for Justin Herbert, who's going to be, you know, he's going to battle Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen as one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. And I think they're going to be the team that has a legit chance to make the Super Bowl run. The issue, Adam, is that they're in the AFC, which is so incredibly tough compared to the NFC, where you have a handful of teams that are almost guaranteed, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, the Rams, to be in that final conversation for the Super Bowl.
You're the best. Ryan Wilson, I appreciate your time at Ryan Wilson CBS. You can find him at CBS Sports HQ, Pick Six Podcast, and, of course, at CBSSports.com. I'll talk to you soon, my friend. Peace.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
But we are about 5 hours away, conservatively, it might even be sooner, from a decision which might fundamentally alter a professional sports league forever. And I understand that you might be tired of hearing about LIV Golf versus the PGA Tour, but a very simple decision in the U.S. District Court in Northern California is going to potentially alter what the PGA Tour is capable of doing for its members. So there's an antitrust lawsuit filed by 11 players against the PGA Tour. And to me, there are two separate charges here. Antitrust violations, potentially, that the PGA Tour has committed, remains to be seen. But the secondary part of this are three players, Taylor Gooch, Matt Jones, Hudson Swafford, who want in to the PGA Tour's playoffs this year. Now, there's about 20 former PGA Tour players that are playing on the LIV Tour. These are the only three that are trying to get into this year's FedEx Cup playoffs, which start Thursday in Memphis. And what they're arguing is irreparable financial harm if they are prevented from doing so. PGA Tour has argued that you guys were suspended on June 9th. You have had ample time to file this lawsuit. You have created the emergency that you cite by waiting until 5 days before the tournament begins, because this lawsuit was filed on Friday, I believe. You've waited until all the way now to file this lawsuit, which will be heard today at 4 o'clock Eastern time in a Northern California district court. And what it's now created is absolute public animosity. The current PGA Tour players would, and the PGA Tour is arguing this, that they would be more harmed because these players would be taking money directly from the current PGA Tour players that followed the rules. And the rules have been that you are allowed to play in a competing tours event as long as you have the tour's permission. So the PGA Tour often grants waivers. But in this case, because they recognized that LIV was not just another tour, but they were coming after PGA Tour players specifically to lure them to their tour, that the PGA Tour said, nah, ain't doing it. So Billy Horschel is one of the more vocally was a guest of this program last week. Billy Horschel had this to say Friday afternoon in Greensboro.
What is their vision of supporting the PGA Tour? They've talked about that they do want to be on the PGA Tour. Some of them have. You know, they still want to support the PGA Tour, but what is that vision? The vision is not playing 15 events minimum on a year for the of the PGA Tour, because that's 29 events. That would go against what they said earlier, they want to play less. Their vision is cherry-picking what events they want to play in on the PGA Tour. Obviously, those would be the Invitationals, Players, the higher world-ranking events, and the bigger purses events on the PGA Tour. And that's not supporting the PGA Tour. That's getting sponsor exemptions into to these events. So it's frustrating. They've made a decision to leave the PGA Tour, and they should go, you know, follow their employer.
Ah, and there's at the end, to me, is the money quote from Billy Horschel. Follow their employer. Greg Norman, the CEO of LIV Golf, keeps referring to these players as independent contractors. Except, even on the PGA Tour, that is a loose term. Because you are independent, an independent contractor, meaning you can play wherever you want on the PGA Tour. You can play other tours with permission. But ultimately, you draw benefits from the PGA Tour. So you're sort of a member of the tour. In fact, these LIV players who left the tour are under contract to play all of the events on the LIV tour. So they're not independent contractors. Horschel called them what they are, employees of LIV Golf. And that is very interesting, but it coming at 4 Pacific today.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.